This is Derivative.
If you want to skip the rest of this, you do that with my blessing.
I tend to say the same thing.
It's not the same.
Maniacal fans, and they write jingles.
I don't see the point in writing your own show when you can pinch somebody else.
I hope it's smart and funny.
It's the dumbest show.
So, I mean, what's the interest of
naked old men eating dinner?
It is bad, and it is done with total confidence.
Not original, uninspired.
Yeah, I'm derivative as hell.
This is Derivative. I am Jerry. This is a podcast that features parody songs about a bald orange man as well as me talking. We have some great stuff to share with you today. This week I was going to do the Shadow parody of the Geyser of Death, and I have most of that done. But sometimes things happen, and in this case, the Jingle Fairy struck. Brad Weiss posted this 76 Trombones parody, and many of you don't track littlesongs.net religiously. You should, because there's great content up there all the time. But if you aren't doing that, you're forgiven. I'm here to help share it with you when these things come out. And I felt like I had to just get out a songs-based episode this week just to share this one song in particular. So listen to this. If you want to skip the rest of this, you know, you got my permission to do that. But here's Brad Weiss with this wonderful 76 Trombones parody.
My friends, we've got jingles right here inside the district with a capital J, and that rhymes with A, and that stands for ancient. 71 years old, what the papers say. That's the kind of newsworthy report we admire. We've all heard of a new grandson that he still won't pick up, afraid of germs he might acquire. 71 years old, Cindy Boren writes, and we'd have to agree he's clean out of time. Near the end of a nice long life that's financed by PTI, he's reserved his spot at Ingleside. We've all heard accounts of recent calamities. Slipped a disc, took a risk, closed a restaurant. It's a smart idea to lease a car. I don't know where my glasses are. My God, these are someone else's pants.
There is just so much packed into that. The first 3 weeks or so of Tony's new season are in that song. I mean, the reference to Tony's age being called out in a column for no reason, talking about him moving to the radio, saying Tony Gornheiser, 71. And then the idea of him leasing a car and slipping a disc, and just all the little things are in there. It's so well put together, Brad. Hats off to you. It's fantastic. So even if you don't listen to Tony, that probably was still funny. But many of the references don't make a lot of sense, or you may want some more context. I also am in that same boat. I listen quite often, but sometimes I miss an episode. And I got the sense that there was something going on with this changing the wrong pants storyline. And so I wanted to do a song about it, though, because people kept talking about, oh, Tony's wearing the wrong pants. That just sounded like it was probably a funny story that I just somehow missed. So I posted on Twitter, hoping to crowdsource the idea to hear, like, hell, what's this amazing changed pants story? And basically the story was, he was wearing his workout clothes. He had to put on some other clothes that he'd left at PTI. So he found a pair that were in the dressing room that he put there like 20 years ago. And they're a little bit too baggy. Like he was an MC Hammer video or something. And that was it. He was wearing pants that were slightly too big, but they were probably his just from a long time ago. So that didn't seem like that was enough material to do a song. So like Brad had one or two throwaway lines in that last song about it. I was disappointed because, oh man, I thought that was going to be the jingle. Like this whole thing, that's it. He just had the wrong pants. So I had listened to that day's show, however, or the day before. And Tony had told a different story about pants where he went golfing wearing some white shorts or jorts or whatever they were, some white shorts. And he noticed that he had a brown stain on the rear end, that his butt had this brown stain, and he was trying to explain it to everybody, and they were making jokes about diaper blowouts and stuff and him being an old man and soiling himself, but it was probably tree sap or something. But anyway, he was telling the story in a very self-deprecating way, and it was funny, and it occurred to me that that was the joke, that I could weave these two stories together and come up with something that might still be funny. So that's this song right here. I hope you like it.
Wrong pants.
I found this old pair in the dressing room.
Too big.
I look like an extra in a music video. I know these aren't mine, 'cause there are clues. My pants were white, well, mostly white. And my pants were hemmed with a huge stain on the rear end. I think it was sap, let's say it was sap. It was definitely sap. Wrong pants.
So hopefully you enjoyed that. One of the techniques that I tried to employ in that song, and I do periodically, but it doesn't always work. I cannot do it as well as like the master of it, Weird Al Yankovic, is to have the punchline be revealed 45 seconds in, a minute in, have that twist where you suddenly realize that the joke you thought you were listening to, or the serious song you thought you were listening to, is now twisting into something else. So an example of that would be a Day in the Life parody I did, where I'm talking about Tony leaving a movie theater and everybody recognizes him, and you think that that's it, that he's this cranky old man who's leaving a theater. But then the twist is, oh no, they just think he's Brad Childress. And so then that surprises you, and that's the joke. So an example of that, one of the very first albums I ever owned, I don't know if this is something, a source of pride or of shame, but it was Even Worse from Weird Al Yankovic. And there's a song in there called The Good Old Days. I must have listened to this 1,000 times when I was a teenager, just falling out of my chair laughing at the twists, because it's the same thing where there's, and Weird Al does this a lot in his ballads, but I just want to play a little clip here where he's setting up a very clean, innocent premise, and then it twists into something crazy and insane out of nowhere, and then that's the joke, is it is a straight-faced delivery of this total insanity. So that song you just heard there, Wrong Pants, I was trying to evoke this idea here by someone who's far better than me.
I can still remember good old Mr. Fender, who ran the corner grocery store. Oh, he'd stroll down the aisle with a big friendly smile, and he'd say howdy when you walked in the door. Always treated me nice, gave me kindly advice. I don't know why I set fire to his place. Oh, I'll never forget the day I bashed in his head. Well, you should have seen the look on his face. Let me tell you now, those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. The years go by, but the memory stays.
I'll never forget the day I bashed in his head. It's got to be one of my all-time favorite Weird Al moments. It's just so damn funny. All right, on to the iTunes reviews. If you have not left a review for this show, and most of you haven't, because I know there's a lot of listeners and only 2 reviews, please do. I'll send you a free sticker, or I won't. But if you don't want one, that's fine. But just leave a review. I'd love your feedback. And if it's funny, that's great. If it's earnest, that's even better. So here's one by sgram767 that says, great content based on others' work. And this kind of veers towards the sincerely nice review. I really like this. It says, this podcast is a true blend of parody and original content. Filled with insight and down-to-earth commentary, this will give you endless of entertainment, I think hours of entertainment, or seconds maybe, until you wake up and change the channel. 5 stars all around. Thank you for that review. Stickers come in your way. If you email me, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com, be happy to send that to you. In terms of stuff I got, so stickers are coming. Tickets for Jingle Fest just arrived today. They look fantastic. There'll be physical tickets next year, so if you're planning to come, make sure you get one of those. Put it in a safe place so that you can be let in and don't have to have shenanigans that day. In terms of the shirts and all that stuff, so over the last 4 or 5 years, I've acquired a bunch of shirts. I managed to get rid of most of them. I still have a few left. If you would like to support this podcast, the easiest way to do it is just to go buy one of those, because then I get $10 or something from those shirts, and that helps me pay for all the karaoke tracks and everything else I'm doing here. So you can do that, or if you go on Patreon, today is probably the last day of the month. If you want that free mug, I do a monthly fulfillment of those. So if you want to get a mug for $3, just go to patreon.com/littlesongs, sign up. You can cancel tomorrow and screw me over. Just pay $3. Doesn't matter, but I will send it to you regardless of whether or not you're a 1 month member of that, or, you know, 1 year or whatever, whatever you want to do. So join there. I appreciate your help. And leave reviews, send stuff. I want to get this stuff out of here. When I go to Nashville, I don't want to bring a bunch of stuff. I may bring a few derivative things, or maybe we could do a pop-up show there or something. That would be kind of cool. You know, we'll do something, but I don't want to bring a bunch of stuff. I'm going there to have fun. It's like a vacation for me for the first time. I'm not going to be doing it here and sweating it out. So hopefully it'll be fun and we can get some support there and not have to have kind of the whole production of all that stuff. And these things will be gone by then. But if they're not, I'll bring a few with me. But help me out if you can. If you like this show, I appreciate it. And then, you know, we'll keep this whole thing going. I'm going to be here regardless. So if you want to keep milking it, I guess you could do that. But yeah, there's all these fun things for you. So I hope you enjoy them. And you could be like Brad Weiss. You could have 14 shirts with my name on them in your closet or whatever, you know, if that's your thing.
You're listening to Derivative.
One of my favorite bits to do in the old podcast was the fake commercials. And one of my favorites that I think many people just didn't understand because it's pretty bizarre was horse clips. So there is if you don't know what that is or why I would even do that, there's a commercial that used to play on ESPN 980 a lot, or I don't know where else I would have heard it because I don't really listen to a lot of radio, but it was an ad for this franchise. And I guess it's like cartoon clips for kids, but sports clips or whatever, you know, they're cartoon cuts. I don't know what it's called, but this very niche thing that like targets a specific demographic. And the commercial is just so condescending, saying that, oh, we have sports clips. It's a place for men to come and be, you know, guys can be guys and watch sports in a man-friendly environment and stuff. It just was the dumbest, most condescending, lowbrow thing. And so after many years of disdain of mine towards those commercials and the brand in general, and my shock that they're still in business, I visited a sports clips for research for this podcast. I thought, you know, I've been mocking them for so long. Maybe I should go check it out. And it was exactly what I expected. So if you've not been to a sports clips, let me just explain to you what's inside. So you go in, and I was really impressed actually by their check-in process. They have like a whole smartphone, iPad situation where you can check in before you get there and see if there's a queue. And it was pretty impressive. But once you do all that, there's a waiting area where they have like a giant TV on. And all they were playing was PTI and Highly Questionable at the time I was there, because there was no live sports at, you know, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. So I guess it was a man-friendly environment, but, you know, it was just a sports channel. Anyway, so I was waiting there, and then it may as well have been a Best Cuts or whatever. There just were a couple of folks there that cut hair, but there was nothing special about the experience. They offered to wrap a towel around my face. I didn't want that at the time. I was kind of in a hurry. But the cut was okay. It was a little bit expensive for what it was. I thought it was going to be $15 to $20. I think it was $28, $29. So I guess you're paying a premium to have a television on. On the bright side, the person cutting my hair did not talk to me. One of my pet peeves in that situation is when you're a captive audience whatever you want to call it, when you're captive to somebody there. And I totally sympathize, whether you're an Uber driver or a hairstylist, you are standing or doing a job for 8 to 10 hours by yourself. You have no one to interact with except the customer. I totally understand why you want to talk to that person, because it must be boring as hell. But in my situation, when I'm there, that's like 20 minutes to close my eyes and just relax. I want nothing to do with it. So that was one of the nice things about sports clips. I just sat and listened to Pablo Torre talk about some nonsense. I think Antonio Brown had just been cut. It was breaking news while I was there at the sports clips. It actually happened. I was able to hear it live. Amazing, amazing times. That should be a testimonial for the place. So anyway, if you want an expensive haircut that's of modest quality and there happens to be a sporting event on, I don't know if they're open late enough to go there for actually for sporting events, like if Monday Night Football's on, and they probably don't have the NFL package. So I don't think you probably could go there on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Maybe. I'm kind of skeptical that they would have the ticket. It's expensive. But yeah, check it out. And if you don't want that, and you'd rather maybe get your hair cut in a barn, maybe you should try Horse Clips.
Hey, fellas, are you sick of getting your hair cut in a salon surrounded by women and stuff? Well, I'd like to introduce you to Horse Clips. If you've ever wanted to have your hair cut in a barn surrounded by hay and manure in a friendly horse-based environment, this is the place for you. That's right. Horse Clips was created by men for men and is the only farm-based hair cutting service in America. If you'd like to inquire about opening a Horse Clips franchise of your own, you have some serious personal finance issues, buddy. Horse Clips! Get your hair cut today in a barn.
So I usually try to write all these things myself, but I occasionally check in on the ideas page to see what's going on there. And just today I saw a wonderful idea from Robert Zolnicki set to the tune of Someday My Prince Will Come about Claude. And I thought this was wonderful. So I took it and probably ruined his idea because I changed it a lot. But here's my interpretation of Robert's fantastic idea. And the angle here that I thought was so funny about it was just this idea that Nigel's working now, but there, right over his shoulder, Claude is lurking. So that's the feeling I was trying to get at with this parody.
Someday when Claude returns, Nigel will watch and learn how to brew coffee and press record. Mr. Tony can throw out the board. Thoughts looming quietly, a real-life sword of Damocles. Though he's not here today, he's never far away. Nigel, someday, is coming soon.
Tony's back on the radio now, so I thought it would be fun to share an outtake, actually. This is something Steve Lipton sent me that I don't think he ever posted to littlesongs.net. He may have sent it in Tony's show, I'm not sure, but this is like a bonus track. So you're getting the premium behind-the-scenes stuff here from Steve Lipton. This is called Terrestrial Radio, and this is about when Tony left the radio and went to do podcasts. So I thought that I would then share my song about that same topic, also called Radio, and then my new version of Radio, which I was stunned this Garth Brooks song actually made Tony's show. So I played this a few weeks ago. I wanted to share it again here because I really like this song. I like the original song of Rodeo, but I also really like how this turned out. And so here's three songs about Tony leaving radio and then coming back.
980 show has reached its expiration. Mr. Tony announced his abrogation. He turned the show into a podcast. New Channel 8 will forego the simulcast. Cast about for a corporate sponsor. Nike, Golden Corral, or Red Lobster. We'll hear the yodeling of Mr. TK. But we won't get it over the airwaves. He's left terrestrial radio. He's left terrestrial alone. Radio. You're recording inside the deer house. Any day you'll be outside to browse about. Will you make money, even a little? No comprende, it's a riddle. He's left terrestrial radio. He's left terrestrial alone. Radio. He's left terrestrial radio. He's left terrestrial alone. Radio. He's leaving. Radio. Radio is leaving. Radio. Radio is leaving. Radio. Radio is leaving. Radio.
Huh. What's wrong with my radio? Why isn't Tony on this station?
My world's been collapsing.
sing ever since I heard Tony's leaving radio. How can I hear him when I get in my car and I turn up the dial? I'm afraid that I can't find him. He's no longer on local DC radio. It makes me sad. He said, come find him on the Apple Store. Just click subscribe, but I don't know how. That's way too hard. Rising from the ashes, and he's moving one block west. He's returning for the masses to do the thing that he does best. He's famous for his writing and the PTI show. But of all the jobs he's ever had, his favorite's radio. It's the breakfast spread, it's the lox and bread, it's the bathroom in the hall. It's fighting the evil sales weasels and ignoring listener calls. It's the tight space, it's the AM base, it's the sterile studio. It's the safe confines of clear guidelines and the call the thing radio.
Derivative, remixing other people's ideas for profit and fame.
It's the fall TV season, and usually this time of year, I pick one or two shows that seem interesting, and Michelle and I give them a shot, and usually one of them is really good, and we like it, and then, of course, it's canceled. But, you know, it's a tradition every year. It's usually some good programming. This year, though, there's not a single thing that looks interesting. I'd love to hear if there's something you're watching that maybe is any good. If I see one more promo for that Masked Singer, I think I'm going to shoot myself. I mean, that is like the lowest of the low. As bad as American Idol and some of these other things are, like I just can't even imagine what the appeal of that is. Here's somebody in a dog suit singing a karaoke song. I don't know. Well, then again, you're listening to me talk about this doing parody karaoke songs. Anyway, so since I'm not watching a lot of new TV, I've been catching up on some shows that I should have discovered years ago. And one of those, my brother recommended, is called Nathan For You. Now, if you haven't seen the show, I binged it in like a month. It just was absolutely amazing. It is a comedy show, but it's pitched as a reality fixer-upper type show for businesses or other things where this guy, Nathan, comes in and tries to help give ideas to fix things up. And it is just a brilliant satire, deconstruction of reality TV, viral videos, viral moments. And it only gets better. I mean, as the show progresses, it gets so into kind of the what he's doing that you're not really sure at a certain point what's real anymore. And so it gets a little weird towards the end just because the final episode is just brilliant. And there's speculation, oh, will there be a fifth season? And I just hope there isn't because it ended perfectly. Anyway, highly recommend it. Nathan For You. Check it out. It's on Hulu. I wanted to play a little clip because this spoke to me. Because basically this moment, there's an episode, season 2, episode 5, where he's trying to help a local coffee shop compete with Starbucks. And the idea is they will make a parody of Starbucks called Dumb Starbucks. And in order, they talk to a lawyer. He says, oh, in order to do that idea, you have to have established a reputation as a parody artist. Have you done that? And so then it cuts to this clip where they decide they're going to become parody artists. And this is their interpretation of that.
It would just be helpful legally if we had a history of being parody artists.
Okay.
I told him we'd only have 2 weeks to make as big of a splash as possible. So we got to work coming up with some songs that we could perform around town.
Something easy, something that everyone recognizes. Stone song, a Zeppelin song.
Yeah, maybe we could, like, skewer them for being old.
Right. I can't get no erection, but I try, or something like that. You know, I don't know.
We had our first song, and after finishing the lyrics, I booked us a spot at a local open mic night so we could begin building our legal defense.
Elias and I are big fans of the Rolling Stones. But, you know, we were talking lately, and we thought, you know, these guys are kind of getting a little old. So.
So, yes, what a golden parody. That really resonated with me, though, obviously, because that's like me on a Wednesday night. Oh, let's do a song about how Tony's really old, and it's got to be a simple song that everybody knows. Like, I mean, I felt like they were mocking me with that little segment there. And it only got worse because after that opening night debut, the business partner just isn't comfortable doing that with him. And so he goes on to do a solo gig with some far worse songs, and we'll play a few clips of those here. And again, I feel like this is a direct mocking of me, because I guess I probably could have written one of these. I mean, they're pretty bad, but at the same time, yeah, I could kind of see it.
So after writing more songs, I had to do the next open mic on my own.
I'm not afraid to grab my balls. Everybody, come grab my balls. Don't let the checks run dry. Royalties shave tonight. Let's get that beard all gone. Too much stubble. Let's get that hair all gone.
I thought the show went okay, but unfortunately, the audience didn't agree.
I didn't really like that at all. It's not really my cup of tea.
It f***ing sucked.
Maybe musical parody just wasn't in style right now, because when I looked online, no one was writing about my work.
So maybe musical parodies just aren't in right now, and nobody's talking about my work. Yeah, I kind of know the feeling that those were so freaking bad. But that last one, Shave Tonight, like when I heard that, I said, oh yeah, I totally could see somebody doing that as a Harry's Razors parody. Like that fits right in. I mean, the whole conversation and conceit of what they were doing was not that far off. And anyway, if you haven't checked it out, it's a wonderful show. Four seasons of it. It's on the Hulu. And it's just simply brilliant. If you aren't into awkward comedy, there could be a few cringeworthy episodes because he is fully committed. I think that's one of the things that I respect more than anything else about the show, aside from the brilliant writing and the conception of it, is the 100% commitment to it, to the point that you aren't sure if he's kidding or not. You know, where it's past funny until it kind of comes around the bend again and it gets funny again.
Have you met Jeff and Andy? They are two ordinary guys. Then one day they bought a factory. Makes razor blades. For a few bucks, they'll send some your way. And every month, they'll send a few more. And if you like, they'll throw in aftershave. Just add it to your registry and shave tonight. Put some shave cream on, lose the stubble. Stubble the league on, shave tonight. Put some shave cream on, lose the stubble. The stubble will be gone.
One of the topics Tony started ranting on today was the studio at WMAL being way too small, and that he may not even come back to record Friday's show because it was so small he needed to have it changed. And he was making an appeal to his lawyer as a listener of the show to call them and deal with it. It was such a weird roundabout way, instead of just saying, like, leaving and saying, hey, where's the manager? Or, I got to talk to him. Or even calling Jared and saying, hey, can you give these guys a call? Instead, he tried to appeal to him as a listener of the show to say, fix this. So I thought that was hilarious, and that needs to be commemorated in song. So I started brainstorming on it, and that was only in the last couple hours, so I don't have much, but I thought I would share what I have so far. So the very first idea I had was to do John Mellencamp's Small Town and call it Small Room or something. But that's not a very good song. At least I don't think it's very good in terms of its changes and stuff. It's very repetitive, and there's not a lot to pack in there. It's so, like, I think I could do, like, I do this show in a small room. Five people crammed in a small room. Can't turn around in this small room. Like, then where's it going from there? Like, that's it. Like, it's going to be that. And I'm pretty sure that little bar I just did repeats like five times, and then maybe there's a bridge. But like, that's the chorus and the verse, as far as I know. So probably can't do much there. And then the next idea I had was Coldplay's Clocks, with the idea that Tony's in a box. Like, and so if you don't know that song, the only thing that jumped into my head would be something like, on and on and on and on, doing my show in a box and a da-na. So something like that. But again, that one has that little verse, and then there's like just tons of piano solos and like oohs and ahs. So I don't think that song lends itself to be a very good jingle. And then the next idea I had, and these are like all misfires. Maybe one of these will be a real song next week. If you have ideas in any of this stuff, like I love the collaborative nature of the Grelli and Derivative, where you guys have sent me lyrics and ideas and built these things with me. It's been awesome. So ChineseFood@TKJingles.com. I would love that to happen for this. The next idea I had was the animals. We got to get out of this place. And this one I think has the most potential, except I think Jared, the lawyer that, you know, screens all these things, I think that one of the big issues with the songs that are, quote, too close to the original is when the chorus doesn't change it up enough. And that goes back to the whole Mad Magazine thing and their lawsuits in the 50s and 70s and whenever, all that stuff that I've talked about before. So I think that while we gotta get out of this place, in terms of the energy of it and the way the verses have a lot of room to cram words in, and then it builds into this really emotional chorus, I just think it wouldn't make the show. So it may not be worth even trying that one. But that's the one that if I really wanted to sit down and write a real homage to this topic, I would do that. So the fourth idea I had, I'm going to play you a little demo here. I may release this on Little Songs. I don't know. I'm not sure it's good enough. Send me your feedback if you like this one. This is something I wrote in about 25 seconds about Tony being crammed in a small room, set to the tune of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box.
Now I'm on the radio at AM 6:30. I've had to tape my show in this little box the past few weeks. Lesser men make do with this, but I need more. I think I should call my lawyer or stab you with the fork. Hey, wait, I got a new complaint. I'm the 1% better treating nice. Hey, wait, I got a new complaint. I'm the 1% better treating nice.
So those were some partial thoughts on jingles to do. Another incomplete jingle that I got back to this week just to record my own little final version of it was Old Town Road, the old folks home thing. And I think that there was maybe an episode of Tony's show this week where they talked about going to the old folks home, and it reminded me like, oh yeah, I got to do that. So all credit to Luke Overby for the deep voice quasi bridge between the verse and the chorus. That rap, I would not have written anything this good. I'm hoping that Luke can record this at some point someday, but folks are really busy right now. A lot of folks are moving. I think Sean and Rob are both in process of moving, so they don't even have access to their microphones right now. So I'm on my own in this one. I think it turned out pretty good, though. If you were at Jingle Fest, this will be familiar to you. If you listen to it, the old episode where I play the demo of this, you'll recognize it. This is one of my favorite things I've done in the last year or so. I absolutely love how this turned out, and a lot of it has to do with Luke jumping in and helping out to really round out a part that I wasn't quite sure how to complete. So here's Old Folks Home.
Yeah, I'm going gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I'll laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I'll plan to spend all his dough.
Dad, it's not that bad, bridging bingo back to back. Canasta with my Lanta, but golf is in the past. Yeah, need to rant and curse, don't call me, call the nurse. The good news is that it really can get worse now.
Think of it just like camping with 100 grandpas. Think of it just like camping with 100 grandpas.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my dad to the old folks' home. I'm gonna laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I plan to spend all his dough.
You're buying homes with straight cash, spending like a rock star, giving lots of ammo for my bad dad memoir. Making bad decisions like buying dying sports bars. I could've used that money for a beach house or a sports car. You're staying in the game, you're a fool old man, and just last year signed a new contract. Wish I could drop you off at that old folks' home. Let's take a ride, I can't take no more.
I'm gonna take my dad to the old folks' home. I'm gonna laugh and leave him all alone. Gonna take my dad to the old folks' home, and then I plan to spend all his dough.
Well, it's kind of a long ending. I might want to think about trimming this. All right, yeah, we understand. Joke's over. So one of the topics I've talked about before on the podcast, and I even had a featured segment for a while until I pissed people off, was the cesspool, Bill LaHecka's message board. And I got to say, I used to go there, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever I first started listening to the show. It was a great place to go and see people chatting about the episodes and getting insight into what was going on that day if you weren't able to listen live and had to tune in later after work or on your drive home with the podcast. And I've given them a hard time, the folks that write on there, because there's a lot of negativity. I mean, most people that are on the Andy Poley Happy Fun Time message board writing about the show hate the show at this point. And I kind of understand it now. Like at first, when it transitioned from people just talking about all the fun stuff to this kind of like resentment and frustration and anger or whatever, I thought, oh, this is weird. I mean, I thought these were fans of the show, but sort of like The Last Jedi and how a lot of people hate that total garbage movie. I don't think it's because people are necessarily angry or upset. It's just that they're big fans of something that was a certain way, or that they really liked at one point, and now something has changed. And as people who love that thing, they're just frustrated and are sharing that frustration out there. And sometimes it goes a little far. I mean, there's a lot of personal attacks on people in there and a lot of vitriol, and that's where that kind of the cesspool name came from. But I totally get it. And this past week especially, there was a lot of stuff because Tony was talking about impeachment and politics, and that is a landmine, and his views on it are not very deep and certainly not consistent with the views of those on the boards. So there were some pretty hard feelings there, and a lot of strong words, very, very similar to the Tom Cotton affair from a little while ago when folks really went off there. But the other thing that I get out of the cesspool is ideas, the man on the street perspective, people looking at things from a different way than me, or folks that have listened for 25 years and have the ability to make connections to an old joke or to bring something up or to make an observation like, oh, Tony said that before, or that reminds me of this other time, and kind of help me think through it as well. So I'm deriving ideas from the cesspool. So I view it as a very valuable asset, and I love going there every couple of days to see, hey, what's going on? Sometimes they'll post a dap to somebody's jingle. Oftentimes it's just trashing the jingler. But anyway, so if you don't want your feelings hurt and you do these things, you probably should never go there. But otherwise, if you're a fan of the show, it's a great place to go and kind of get a very unfiltered perspective on what's going on. And one of the songs I remember that was written directly from a mic from Burke, Virginia, rant was this next song about Tony being a broken record on a couple of topics around the Nats and the Caps, I think. So here's my parody of Tub Thumping that was essentially written by Mike from Burke without knowing it at the time. He just kept talking about this, so I wrote a song that basically put his words to music.
What is that sound? The old man again, he is pointing to the ground. Can't hold him down. There he goes again. Why was the orchid on the mound? He's doubling down on his point again, telling everyone in town. He's really loud. Getting sick of this, gonna turn my radio down.
He made this point yesterday.
He says the Nationals are the Capitals. Yep, the Nationals are the Capitals. He'll say it 22 times on a good day and 43 times on a bad day.
Mike and Burke's annoyed. He's so annoyed. He's so annoyed.
What is that sound? The old man again. He is pointing to the ground. Can't hold him down. There he goes again.
It's a cesspool. Yeah, sometimes things just fall in your lap. I had made the observation that the heck of message boards had turned into a cesspool. And then a few days later, Tony said that comment about something unrelated. And I said, oh, I got to save that clip. This is perfect. But if you don't go there, you miss out on some pretty damn funny stuff. It's really... interesting community. Not quite as populous as it was once was, but full of enough fervor to make up for that. So that's it for today's episode of Derivative. I've hopefully given you a lot of content to enjoy here. I really appreciate those of you that are supporting me on all the various channels that I've mentioned before. I'm not going to beat that into the ground, but I do appreciate everyone who emails me, who comments on these things, leaves a review on iTunes, who does whatever you do to support this cause and this little hobby of mine. I hope that I see you in Nashville next year. It's going to be a fun time. We're getting close to booking a place now that I've got an approximate headcount. That is it. So send me your feedback, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com. And then next week, I think we're going to get back to the shadow.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. It's good to know that I'm not alone. Holler if you feel like my